hackers tap into WhatsApp to spy on phone calls. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. Simple, reliable and secure is the way the messaging service WhatsApp describes itself. Well, those words have come into question after hackers were able to break through the WhatsApp's firewalls and install spyware on its users' phones. The messaging service is now urging over a billion users around the world to upgrade to the latest version of its service. Ian Sher is a technology journalist. He explains how the spyware is transmitted to people's phones.
It was devilishly simple. You would call someone using WhatsApp, and what would happen is that the person didn't even have to pick up. It would immediately send this bad software over the internet to the other person's phone using WhatsApp, and then be able to take advantage of the security flaws in the program.
WhatsApp owner Facebook says the surveillance technology was mainly being used to spy on the calls of human rights lawyers. Dana Ingleton is from Amnesty International.
It basically gets control of your whole phone. It can see your messages. It can see your contacts. It can activate the camera. Governments are buying these tools to fight crime and terrorism, but we also know some governments with atrocious human rights records are buying this tool and using it to target human rights defenders.
That was Dana Ingleton. Let's do the numbers. European shares are up after comments from Washington and Beijing helped to soothe investor worries about a deepening trade row. Meanwhile, Bayer shares slumped to a seven-year low after a US jury awarded more than $2 billion to a couple who said the company's weed killer caused their cancer. German carmaker Volkswagen is bracing itself for a showdown today at its annual meeting with shareholders. Investors are not happy with the progress made since it was revealed that the company was cheating on diesel emissions tests. It's not the only German company that's seeing shareholders demand more transparent practices, as Theo Leggett explains.
German companies have particular structures that is designed or were designed in the past to keep them strong, to protect them from change. So, for example, in your traditional large German company, you have a management board which is responsible for the day-to-day running of the company and a supervisory board that appoints the directors. And the supervisory board is 50% made up of union representatives and 50% made up of the great and good. And the suggestion has been, yes, that all of this is simply a little too cozy. And now shareholders within these companies, particularly institutional shareholders, are starting to flex their muscles more.
Are there any examples of any companies that have come into trouble?
Well, some of the big names in Germany have actually been coming under a lot of pressure from shareholders. The industrial group ThyssenKrupp, for example, has finally been persuaded to split itself up, to hive off one of its businesses in order to release shareholder value. Now, this is not something that German companies have traditionally been that keen on doing. They like empire building. They like protecting the jobs of the people who work within the company. And maybe in the past, shareholder interests have come second. So there are signs that shareholders are starting to respond to this sort of cozy arrangement and try and wield their influence to make sure that companies are a bit more go-getting rather than looking after themselves and operating as a kind of closed network.
That was Theo Leggett. Let's cross to Pakistan now. It's a country that's home to 200 million people. Two-thirds are under the age of 30, many of them budding entrepreneurs. As Vivian Nunes reports from the suburbs of Lahore, some young women have been breaking the stereotypes of stay-at-home women by making their mark in the beauty industry.
I've come to the headquarters of Garpa, the number one beauty startup here in Pakistan.
Hi, I'm Shamila Ismail. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Garpa.
At this large refurbished house in Lahore, underprivileged women are training to become beauty therapists.
We will do now the normal party makeup, okay?
It's not usually a lucrative career choice. On average, beauticians in Pakistan earn less than 10,000 rupees or $100 a month.
And now, through our platform, they earn around $600 a month.
By offering a booking and payments platform online, Garpa, which means at home in Urdu, was able to solve problems commonly faced by local beauty therapists, like customers bartering over the price of treatments.
The informal beauty business always existed in Pakistan, But these women, when they would go to people's houses, they wouldn't get the amount they would ask for. And then the clients would make them wait for hours and hours.
Now, using the Garpa website, clients pay set amounts and the beauticians receive a 70-30 split with the company. Halima Sadia specialises in waxing and hairdressing. She had a baby just 2 months ago, but was keen to return to work.
When I got married, I was a housewife, but to help my husband, I started offering beauty services. Normally in our culture, women are not allowed to work, but now I can take care of my child as well. I earn 60,000 rupees a month.
Shamila Ismail says it's empowering for the women involved.
They are in control of their houses now, and we have realized that once you make a woman financially independent, she makes sure that she gives back to the society, and her family actually makes the most out of it. So it's a ripple effect.
For this Pakistani startup, change really does begin in the home. In Lahore, I'm the BBC's Vivianne Nunes for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.